Alaska on Tuesday, June 26, 2018, at 7 p.m. Pledge of Allegiance this evening will be led by Assemblymember Stephen Przonka, if he can remember it. And the invocation will be given by Nettie Kowalt with the Presbyterian Church.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I think we should have all just been quiet.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give thanks tonight that we can come and freely gather. We thank you and remember all those who have sacrificed their lives for this freedom. We ask for safety and fun for all who gather in our fine community this 4th of July. God, we ask for ears to hear what you would have for all gathered, and grant all those who speak to have voices given by you. In all the business that is done, may the best be done for this community and all who live here. Help the elected officials and community to continue to make progress on projects that are in the works. Patience while waiting for them to be done, and creativity in finding funds for those projects still need to be funded. Be with everyone this evening as they leave here. Keep them safe. In your precious Son's name, we ask this and so much more because you said we could. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. You did great.
Thanks.
We'll give you a B+ on that one. Ceremonial matters, we have none. Roll call, please.
Assemblymembers Gilbert?
Here.
Howell?
Here.
Larrabee?
Yep.
Decker? Howell?
Here.
Przonka?
Here.
And Mayor Jack?
Here. Persons to be heard. There are no persons to be heard. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Conflict of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest on any agenda item? Item 6, consent agenda.
Move to approve consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Are there any discussion?
Julie, Mr. Mayor, if I may, I'm reading through the school board minutes. They're getting briefer and briefer and briefer, and there's no information there anymore, sort of topic headings. And I would sure appreciate if there was a bit more detail provided. The hospital board minutes are actually pretty detailed and allow me to sort of generate some questions or follow up if there's something there. But the school board minutes, I literally have no idea what's gone on aside from the decisions made.
The school board minutes?
Yeah, the school board minutes.
So they do submit action. Is that what you're looking at?
There's a brief
action.
Summary. Yes. What
so
I see.
They do too. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So what they do is after the meeting, they do school board action. And so that's sent out immediately. And then at the next meeting, they approve the minutes. So you get, basically you get action and then you get, like say, if there was a policy, then it was approved or whatnot. And then there's the school board minutes are approved at the next meeting.
And okay, so maybe I'm missing those out of our packet because I don't see anything with details.
There hasn't been any, and that's why I have school board minutes, school board action, but I don't have anything there because I haven't received any lately.
Okay, I guess that's my point, is that we're receiving a very brief summary of what's going on at the school, but really nothing more in depth.
I can check with
I think if they could model a little bit even after what the hospital does for us, or that would be
good. Well, and I don't know if I can ask her to change the way she does minutes, because that they're their own body. And so I know she does the action. So essentially a meeting receives two sets of one action, one set of minutes.
Like summary minutes.
Right, summary minutes. And then the more in detail.
Okay. Sounds like it is what it is.
We'll see if we can get copies of the more detailed minutes.
Thank you.
Anything further? Call vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Przonka?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Borough Manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a couple of updates I'd like to share with the Assembly beyond the written report that was in the packet. The first thing I'd like to mention is I'm sure all of you saw in the newspaper this last week, we posted the property tax foreclosure list for the first time. And I wanted to let the Assembly know that when we started, prior to the publication, there were initially 237 unpaid property tax bills representing 163 parcels. Since it appeared in the paper last Thursday, there have been an additional 21 bills for 14 parcels paid. But since the initial time that the foreclosure information came out, we have dropped down to where we are currently at 96 bills for 63 parcels, starting at 237, representing 163. So that's a significant drop in taxes owed, and those are continuing to come in. So I believe we're published at least two more times in the newspaper, and then we start the more formal court-based foreclosure process.
So. I have a question on that. In reading through that, I noticed there are a couple of properties that are up for sale that the taxes haven't been paid. How does that affect the city?
So normally a property is not allowed to change hands unless the property taxes are paid as part of that transaction. But as a rule, the only time that is caught is when there is a lender involved in that transaction and they order a title report. If somebody chooses to do a cash or is able to do a cash only transaction with somebody and the person selling it sells it without the property taxes being paid, a deed can be recorded without us knowing about it. So that's why the foreclosure process is so important, because once we're able to go into formal foreclosure process, we are able to put something on the deed. We actually have the ability to record a lien on the deed. So if that property is sold to another person and that buyer does not realize that there's a lien on that property, they then become responsible.
And then it becomes a civil matter between the two of them.
That's correct, yep.
Okay, I just wondered what involvement the city would have to do.
In order for us to make sure that we get paid, whether it goes through a mortgage, whether it goes through a lender or not, we have to timely go through the foreclosure process so that we can place a lien on those properties. And then we normally become the first person who gets paid anytime there's a sale. As a rule, municipalities do not what's called subordinate to any other person who has a lien on that property.
Thank you. That answers my question.
So in the report that I gave you, I mentioned that that ADEC has informed the borough that we will be listed as the owner on the shipping manifest of the material going south. And so I followed up a little bit with Sally Schlichting of ADEC. And she provided me with some detailed information, but I had some additional questions and I wanted to share those with you. And so the follow-up questions I had were, was the city and borough of Wrangell listed as the owner with the previous off-island disposal shipments that were done earlier? And the answer to that was yes. And we got confirmation that we have that information now, that for our own paperwork, because we're the owners of that property. The other thing I asked was, is being listed as the point of contact, does that put us in a position to be responsible for answering questions about the material after the fact or being responsible for that material in some way? And the answer to those questions was no. If there are any questions regarding that material, those can be forwarded to DEC, and we are not responsible for that material in any way. So I just wanted to make sure you know that. But as the owner, we are required by federal regulation to be on the shipping manifest. So, and she cited the Code of Federal Regulations on it. And I wanted to let you know that Shane from NRC contacted Amber today to ask if we wanted to formally be the ones to sign the shipping manifest, or could he do it on our behalf, because there are 200 and some of them. And I just told Amber to give direction to him to please sign for us, because there's nothing that I would review that would tell me whether something is wrong or not. So if absent other direction from you, I'm just going to let Shane from NRC sign on our behalf. Assemblymember Decker asked for information regarding the Pink Salmon Disaster Funds that were approved federally to be for, there was information forwarded to the assembly regarding that. And our federal lobbyists have been keeping us informed on that information. And we got additional data from them. It shows how much money is going to be given to Alaska in total. And Southeast Alaska, our entire region, is going to be getting just over $10 million in disaster relief funds. So that's not a lot specifically compared to Prince William Sound, but this is a Gulf of Alaska pink salmon disaster, so they look at the vast majority of those fish returning to Prince William Sound. So we need to be Johnny on the spot in terms of trying to figure out exactly what the economic impact to us is, and Carol and I will be trying to figure out to whom we need to speak to determine if there's some sort of a formula they're putting together or if we have to come up with our own declaration of what that is, but we'll keep you informed on that. So some portion of $10 million, how much that would be, I don't know. I wanted to say a huge thank you to the Friends of the Museum. They presented me with a $3,000 check for the museum. Apparently that's something that they do annually, and they informed me that there's actually an agreement between the Friends of the Museum and the Nolan Center to be providing that money every year. So I just wanted to thank them. That most of that money, I was told, comes from membership dues, and so thank you to those people who are members of the Friends of the Museum, and thank you for that contribution. And then finally, I wanted to give you an update on staff. We have scheduled 5 interviews with candidates for Thursday and Friday for the Nolan Center director position. I am still interested in having a member of the assembly sit in on that. So if anyone's interested and has the time, we had to schedule those interviews during the workday, so I know that makes it very difficult. But if someone's interested in sitting on that, please let me know after the meeting if you would like to do that. And then I'm trying to figure out a time window in the next 10 to 14 days regarding finance director initial interviews. And then I also wanted to let you know that tomorrow we will begin the 5-day in-house posting for the admin position in the electric department. And then I have a question for you regarding the possibility of a special meeting on Thursday the 12th in response to Assemblymember Howell's declaration that, oh my gosh, we haven't been having any meetings.
Oh, awesome. Sorry.
So,
I missed you.
Does anybody have any objection if we try to hold a special meeting on that day?
Well,
and what was the date?
Thursday, July 12th.
For the hospital concept?
No, that is going to be August 2nd, right, is what we're scheduled to have an executive session.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Thursday.
We may be having an executive session on Thursday the 12th to address an item I can't speak about right now. And then we may be trying to take action on some of the job descriptions for the new positions.
Would it be possible to move that to Wednesday, August 11th, flying out that day on the 12th?
I think so. No, he's talking
July 12th.
He's talking about July 3rd.
Tuesday, July 12th. Can we change it to the 11th?
Oh, okay. I thought you said August.
Yeah, he did say August.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. But the reason, if I can, we don't have a meeting on the 10th. We only have a meeting on the 24th in July. That's why we're looking at trying to schedule a special meeting.
We even do a special meeting on the 10th.
We had some scheduling conflicts, actually, with some folks being out of town, and so that's why we tried to push it to later in the week. But I think Wednesday. Is that okay with it? I don't see the excitement.
What time?
We can
be open.
Yeah.
Pardon?
We can be open about the time.
5:30?
6:30. I don't get off till about 6, so.
Okay. Will that work for everybody? 6:30?
Okay.
I will be out of town. I won't be able to do that.
Okay.
Yep.
And then, unless there are questions regarding any of the other information in the report, I didn't. didn't know, Mr. Mayor, if you had any other questions regarding the Baylor grant funding or if that summary that Amber provided was sufficient.
Well, I did have a question about that. It seems to, a few years ago, two or three years ago, that city staff had worked on a grant for a Baylor, and which, my understanding, it was approved, but somebody decided we didn't need it.
So there's an entire summary on the report in the packet, and I just didn't,
yeah.
Okay, you were.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I apologize.
I was stuck on the road.
Okay. Yeah, there's a roughly a full page summary provided by the public
okay.
works director as to that.
I'll read through that, and
okay.
if I have any further questions, I'll contact.
Okay, great.
Yes.
I have one question. Just when I was looking at the travel summary, we sent a member of the electrical department out for some training, and it was almost a $5,000 travel bill. Is that just his travel, or
no,
did that include
that
the cost,
included
the cost
of the training as well, which was significant? Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that training was for electrical inspection because we currently don't have anybody. The department provides electric inspections as part of building code enforcement and inspection, and with Clay's departure, we did not have anybody trained to do that.
Any applicants for our financial director position?
So yeah, that's we've had several applicants, and I've narrowed the pool down, I think, to four or five, and I'm trying to determine in the next 10 days or so when I can do a first round of interviews with
excellent.
Folks.
Good.
Yep. It is the electrical supervisor position for which I am not. I'm concerned about the applicants that we have, so I'm going to reopen that.
Then I had one other question, Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Go ahead.
So I was looking through the water and our water production and our reports, and it's great because he does a year listing. And when I go back and I look at, say, the week of June 10th in 2018, which was 553,000 gallons of water, and I go and I draw up a rough comparison to a similar week in June, which actually worked out to be the 12th, 862 gallons of water. And I see this consistently, hundreds of thousands of gallons of water difference between last year and this year in terms of what's being consumed. Is any analytics being done on this to try to determine why we're using almost 300,000 gallons less per week?
This year
as compared to last year? And I was trying to think, was it maybe leak detection has led us to this decreased amount from our, but I think it's important for us to understand that because that's a good thing and we want to keep repeating that behavior, whatever it is. Now, unless of course it means the canneries didn't open or the processors didn't open like they normally do, but I think they've been going and about the same schedule, and I went through and did several months and noted the similar thing going on.
Yeah, Amber Allendale, Public Works Director. So I think that there's probably a number of things happening, and we've not sat and really analyzed the difference between this year and last year. You can definitely see a significant change, though, from last year to this one. I think some of the things, definitely the leak detection. And you can see kind of when that picked up was back in, when did we do that? That was back in March. If you follow the numbers here, you'll see a significant drop in numbers since that leak detection was performed and those repairs were made. Beyond that, I do think that the public's conservation has helped. I continue to hear people talk about conserving water, and I think that the push that we've made with the public has been of value, and we see some of the results here. Some of the other issues are what we're doing up at the plant now to try to reduce the amount of water that we're actually wasting, dumping into the ditch for our maintenance purposes. So I think all of those things combined just show this cumulative reduction in the water use. But again, without meters and really being able to analyze our system throughout with meters, it's difficult to say for sure.